Welcome to the King's Cost, dynamic teaching recorded live at King's Church in Cambridge, England. We hope you are blessed and challenged by listening to the ministry today. And now, here's the broadcast.
Lord, Heavenly Father, all the glory is yours. We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory, all the praise. Because yours is the kingdom, the power, forever and ever. Lord, Holy Father, in the name of your dear Son, our King and Savior, Jesus Christ, may you take the control of this meeting and that your word touch hearts, break bonds, and break all oppression. Open our hearts and our understanding through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, church. It's great to be here. And just to follow up what our brother Dan said, I'm going to talk to you today about fulfilling the Great Commission. Fulfilling the Great Commission. What is the Great Commission? It's to spread the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ to all nations, to everybody. The Great Commission is Jesus Christ's last command to all of us who believe in him, in recognizing him as a Savior and Lord. All believers, all of us believers, are called to the Great Commission. Every believer is called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of repentance and forgiveness of sins. Today we need to recap on Jesus' vision about evangelizing the world and by evangelizing everywhere and discipling everywhere as well to fulfill that Great Commission. That's the way to fulfill the Great Commission. There is an urgent need for committed workers to go and gather the harvest. We cannot remain confined within the walls of this building and pretend that from here we are building a church that reflects God's light in a dark world. No, we need to go out and make disciples. We need to make disciples in every situation, in every place. The time, church, the time has come for us, for King's Church, to take another step and expand the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To expand it in this city, in this nation, and abroad, in other countries. In missions ministry, we need all those brothers and sisters in Christ who are passionate about evangelizing and committed to fulfill the Great Commission. After praying and fasting during the last months, God has been encouraging us to expand the fulfillment of the Great Commission to other nations. And through his miraculous providence, God is setting us as our first assignment to contribute for this mission to Kenya in this October, through faith missions and our brother Dan. In my personal experience about missions, I've been in missions in Malta in 2019, in Mexico in 2022, again in Mexico in 2024, and here in the UK in 2023, 2025, and February 2026. I'm going to share what these missions have done in my journey of faith. Firstly, the first thing I need to stress out is that a mission is not a holiday trip. Okay? It's not a holiday. Okay? It involves intense and tight schedules sometimes and meetings at different churches and Christian organizations. Let's say in 14 days, in 2 weeks' time, we had 17 meetings in 2 weeks in that mission in Mexico in 2024. So different cities, lots of different churches, schools of evangelizing, orphanage. So all sorts of different Christian organizations. Yeah? And it involves a lot long journeys. Sometimes we had to sleep over on a coach to travel from one city to another overnight. Okay. So we finished in one church late at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the evening. We went to the coach station and then sleep overnight. And then next day at 10 o'clock, the people from the church pick us up and take us to have some food and then to a meeting in a church. So it's intense. Okay. It requires total commitment and discipline, as well as contributing work with time and resources. Okay. In our personal case from Marité and I, this has meant that instead of spending money on a holiday, on a normal holiday, we use our time and money to go on missions. And this dedication and commitment had greatly rewarded Marité and I by allowing us to know God better and witness the ways in He works and moves in another places and another situations. The missions profoundly transform those who participate in them. I can assure you that after going on a mission, you will never be the same again. Amen for this. Amen. During missions, God tests us, encourages us, and even pushes us to step outside of our zone of control and comfort. And we place ourselves entirely under the control of the Holy Spirit, through whom we are going to be used as instruments to manifest God's glory. We must be prepared for and be ready for anything that will come across. We will never know what's going to happen, even 5 minutes before it's going to happen. Total surrender, total, absolute surrender to God allows the Holy Spirit to take the control of the situation and enables us to do things that we never imagined we could or we would. I have countless unforgettable anecdotes from each mission. What I'm going to share just one. I'm going to share just one that I was practically forced to do something I would never thought I would do. We were in Mexico, in a city called Pachuca in Mexico, in a mission with Andrew Murray in 2022. And one Saturday, Andrew was the speaker at a school of evangelism in a church, in Jesus Culture Church from Pachuca. And after the meeting, we were divided into groups with the students. So each one of us was placed in one group of five students. From the mission, each one of us. So we were completely split with the students. And we were assigned, and each one of us were assigned one of the groups, and we were set off to the streets to share the gospel. The five young lads, they were between 21 and 25 years old that I was with. From the very beginning, they told me, "Pastor, we are going to the main square of the market so that you can preach there. We want to see you preaching there." And I said, "What? No, you're wrong. You're missing the point. I'm not a pastor. And I'm just here to support Andrew. Sometimes I translate to him. Sometimes I share something, a verse, before he speaks. And we support the ministry when praying for people. So no. On the other way around, I want to see you preaching. I'm so encouraged to see young people like you preaching the gospel. So I want to see you. This is the other way around. And they say, no, Pastor, you are the one who are going to preach today. Honestly, I was quite annoyed and started becoming nervous, you know, and annoyed, because they were so insistent, and they still calling me Pastor. But I really, really started getting really, pretty stressed out. Okay? As we walked through the crowded market, it was Saturday, about around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It's a crowded market there in Mexico. And they immediately then will start approaching people, them. You know, you're inviting them, praying for them, inviting them to the church meetings. And I was so stressed out that I couldn't approach or pray for anyone at that moment. It was horrible at that moment. It was horrible. When we arrived to the so-called main square of the market, it was packed with people. They turned around and said to me, "Well, this is it, Pastor. It's your turn now." And now I'm laughing, but at that moment I was terrified. I was terrified. I feel trapped. I feel with no way out. There was no way out of here, you know? And I felt like they were pushing me to jump off a cliff. Like that. You know? Only then, with no excuse, with no recourse at all, nothing at all, I just had to close my eyes and just pray, "Lord, now help me. Help me, because I don't know what to say or what to do." And I began to speak, and I realized that I had to shout. I need to speak very loud, because it was a lot of people and it was a lot of noise and murmur and all that, okay? I don't remember what I said and for how long. There was a moment that I just stopped speaking. And I saw a crowd surrounding me in a semicircle. And I see all these young lads praying, laying hands, and chatting with the people. And then when I just realized that, I start being in complete ecstasy. I was full of joy. My heart started in fire. I was completely in awe and joy. When I took the step of faith, the Spirit of God took control of the situation. It was no longer me. It was the Spirit of the Lord. It was the Lord. It was not the one who was terrified. It was the authority through the Holy Spirit, the authority of the Lord through the Holy Spirit that did the work. People began coming to me for a prayer. Some of them, they start giving their lives to Christ. And I was just burning. I was just burning. I was in awe. I felt like a volcano, you know, about to erupt. And then something even more amazing happened. Every person who approached, so I was praying for, I knew exactly what to pray for each one. Even knowing for the first time, it was the first time I was seeing them. I knew what need, what illness, what lack, what sin, what fear, what problem. I knew it. So people People, I said to one that the love of God was embracing him, and that he knew how much he was suffering because of the terminal illness of his wife, but his wife was going to be called soon to the presence of the Lord. He just burst in tears. But I knew exactly. Then another lady came and said, "Pray, Pastor, pray for my son." And they said, "Well, I just pray for the chains of addictions be broken." And they, in that precise moment, the cage of the addiction was going to be open, the door of that cage, of that trap, that he was set free at that moment. So it was amazing. Another one, I just stared at him and I said, "Give to Caesar what is to Caesar, and God what belongs to the Lord. Get caught up with your finance and with your tax situation if you want to have if you want to sleep all overnight. You cannot sleep because you need to put things right with the government first." Things like that. It was something amazing, just amazing. That. And some more people came. We stayed there for a while. We stayed in that main square. And finally, when we could move over, it started pouring down. Heavy rain. On the way back to the school from the market, it was pouring down, and then we were just singing. These five young men and me, we were just full of you. We were like drunk. We were noisy. We were singing very loud a worship about God sending blessings through the rain while we were just getting soaked. And suddenly, an SUV stopped by us. And a man came to me and said, "Are you the pastor of the church around the corner?" "No, I'm not the pastor." And then he said, "Could you please pray for me?" And I just said to him that he needs to stop being, I said something about stop being greedy, and he needs to be more fair with his employees and his providers. And then God will make his company to grow bigger. And then he was completely shocked. And then he said to his wife, come out. "Could you please pray for my wife as well?" But we were getting soaked. When we got finally back to the school, we left a pond of water. We were completely, completely soaked, but we were full of joy. We were in awe, you know, like drunks. That's how the Lord can move at some point. When ministering, when discipling, when going out to the streets. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, "Call me and I will answer you. Call me, cry to me and I will answer you. However, when Moses and the Israelites were in front of the Red Sea, impossible to cross, and behind them they had the Egyptian army behind, God said something shocking to Moses. 'Why do you cry out to me?'" That's in Exodus 14:15. "Why do you cry out to me? Tell the people to get going." It was only then, when the people of Israel began to move towards the sea that it was impossible to cross, that the sea split in two. It was only until I started speaking loud that the Holy Spirit took over from me. The miracle did not come before they started moving. The miracle did not come to me after I started speaking. The miracle came because of the step of faith. Sometimes faith is not about waiting for everything to change before moving forward. We can stay there forever, church. We can stay there forever and nothing is going to happen. Sometimes faith is moving forward first. and then see how God moves and changes the situation. God made this very clear to me in that occasion, in that mission in Mexico. Crystal clear to me. So, church, if you are passionate about sharing the gospel, if you put your heart in the work for the kingdom of heaven, if everything you do is to praise and glorify God, sparing no resources and with passion and joy, today is God calling you to take a step forward, to cross that line, and perhaps enlist to that mission in Kenya for this October. The Great Commission begins when our fear ends and our obedience begins. It is not just about talking about Jesus, but about reflecting him in our lives. We need to be a mirror of his light, a mirror of his love. The gospel that transforms my life is the message that I'm called to share. Let's bring light where there is darkness and love when there is no hope. The mission of the church doesn't end within its walls. It begins beyond them. Let's go out and do it, church. Glory to God. Amen. Now, let's take a look what the Bible says about this, about the great, fulfilling the Great Commission. And we will start with Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 35, 36, and 37. It says there, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.'" Christ says that there is a multitude. There is a crowd to heal, to feed, to liberate, to teach the word, and to preach the gospel of the kingdom. But committed workers are needed for that harvest. Let us pray, church, we need to pray. Let us pray that workers will come. They will start raising up. Let's pray for committed people. Let's pray that the Lord will raise up pastors in this church, that he will raise up evangelists, that he will raise up lecturers, mentors in Jesus, in King Jesus. People with the heart to go and seek souls, the lost sheep, the sick, to find the one who no longer can walk, to find the one who is captive, to set him free. Jesus is about setting the captives free. We just need to preach his gospel. Let us pray that everyone that comes to this church for fish and loaves, once God has fed them, delivered them, healed them, and restored them, they will cross the line and become committed workers to win souls for the kingdom of heaven. We need to pray for that. We need to keep praying for that, praying and fasting for that. Then, when we cross that line, when we take that step of faith, when Christ tells us, is when Christ tells us, "Come, follow me." Christ calls us, and we listen to his call. We follow his call, and then we become fishers of men, just like his disciples. The word also says in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, the last three verses is Matthew 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. It says there, "And Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. God gave Jesus authority over heaven and earth. And based on that authority, he is commanding his disciples, and he is commanding us today to go and make more disciples, baptize them, and teach them his commands. With that same authority, Jesus empowers us today through his Spirit. We need to share the good news with others and make disciples for the kingdom. This vision has a global reach, as since Jesus is the Lord of the earth and died for the sins of all the people of all the nations. So, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the Great Commission is to go, whether to our neighbors or to another country, and make disciples. This is not an option. This is a command. For all who declare, for all of us who declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. We have all received gifts. We all been blessed with gifts that we can use to contribute to fulfill this great commission. When we obey, we find encouragement in the knowledge that Jesus is always with us through the Holy Spirit. We act with that power and with that authority. We need to be sure of that. We need to be completely sure of that. When we trust, when we obey, when we give thanks and repent of our sins, we can access God's presence. And that presence in us will enable us to act in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's read Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." So, church, to be witness of Jesus, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to do it in the supernatural. That's the only way we can do this. To fulfill the Great Commission, it has to be done in the supernatural. The Holy Spirit flowing through us. We are just instruments that manifest God's glory. And that will be with his authority. And that power is available to all of us. We just need to submit to him, to be completely submitted to him. Jesus taught that his coming inaugurated the kingdom of God. And when we return to heaven, the kingdom will remain in the hearts of the believers through the presence of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus Christ returns to judge humanity and eliminate evil from the world, he will establish the fullness of the kingdom of God on earth. Until then, we all the believers must strive to extend God's kingdom throughout the world. Our duty is to continue the Great Commission that the early church began 2,000 years ago. We need to carry on doing that. When Jesus gives the Great Commission to the disciples and then tells them that he's going to the Father, the disciples react and say to him, "Hey, wait a minute. How can you leave us with all this? How are we going to do it?" And then Christ says in Luke 24:49, it's Jesus says, "And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with the power from on high." And another verse that confirms this is in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. And it says there, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not so many days from now. If Jesus had not ascended to heaven, his physical presence would have limited the spread of the good news, because he could only be present in one place at a time. But after his ascension, he could be everywhere through the Holy Spirit, who was sent also that God would be in us and with us, his followers. The Holy Spirit comfort us, guide us to the truth, remind us of Jesus' words, and give us the right words to fill and fill us with the power from on high. That's all the things that the Holy Spirit makes in us. Give us the authority. Make us do things that we never imagined we can do. We have no excuse. We have no excuse for not to complete the Great Commission, for not fulfill it. With his command, God is empowering us. With his word, equipping us with spiritual weapons, with the authority and power of the Spirit to do his will. We have all the power from God when we go and make disciples of all nations. We have the power of God to do it. We are God's representatives in this world. We are citizens of heaven, that we are temporarily here in this world. He has given us the power. We have his authority. We have his authorization to use his power. Let us ask for that power so that God may empower us and we may go forth and fulfill the Great Commission.
Thank you for listening, and we trust that the Word of God has inspired you today. For further information about King's Church or to access our large archive of other recordings, go to www.kingscambridge.org. If you're listening on iTunes, we would love you to leave us some feedback. God bless and goodbye.